You can learn everyday things. Why just sit watching a screen? What can you imagine? Take a trip with me. Ride along or sing a song. Dance your dances, take your chances. Let's create new places to be.
Hello, everyone. It's Miss Laura. And I'm so happy that you turned on your radio. Come enjoy a journey from Imagination Station with all of us today. This show is called Imagination Station because you can pretend to go to new places and see new things by listening to songs and stories and words that rhyme. This show is especially for children because you have the best imaginations and you know how to play and pretend. When I hear the name Imagination Station, it makes me want to pretend something fantastic. And it makes me think of, well, of trains. And anything else that stops at a station, like a bus. And anything that stops at a dock, like a cruise ship, or a yacht, or a canoe. In fact, it makes me think of anything that can take you someplace new, like a submarine, or a spaceship, or even a magic carpet. How about a cloud? Not just ordinary vehicles, though. At this station, everything is powered by your imagination, and that's extraordinary. That means Imagination Station has vehicles that can do all sorts of things, like trains that fly, or a balloon that takes you floating under the water, if you imagine it that way. How about a canoe that flies upside down? I can see clouds of steam filling Imagination Station from extraordinary trains and vehicles. And guess what? The clouds keep things hidden, so I don't know what's coming next. There are lots of surprises. And even the clouds themselves can change colors and shapes and turn into other things. Listen to the sounds on the show and use your imagination to see what things and pictures the show makes you think about.
Welcome aboard the SS Imagination. Our next stop is Imagination Station.
So we always start with a song. Sometimes it's a sing-along, sometimes it's a dance-along. This song is about the Shenandoah River.
Thank you. Shenandoah, I'm bound to leave you way, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I'll not deceive you. I'm bound away across the white Missouri.
That was a beautiful song about the river. It was sung by Coyote George from Washington State. Now I'll read you a story. This story is called A Journey Down the River. The river is cold and flows gently at its curves. This is where a twig fell in. The twig wasn't concerned about falling in because it was just dead wood and had no feelings. But the grasshopper, who was riding on the twig, he was worried. The curious grasshopper had been trying to push twigs around so he could see what was underneath. Then suddenly the ground under his little feet gave way, and the next thing you know, he found himself floating down the river on his twig raft. It was pleasant enough at first. The water was lapping mildly, and the sun was shining. He saw other twigs and leaves float by, but he didn't see any others with passengers. Still, it was hard to keep on worrying when you could see new things around each bend. He saw a large salmon splash. And they were mama salmon that were bright red. They were swirling around slowly, laying their eggs in the gravel that was held by the fallen tree in that bend of the river. Later, he saw cows drinking at the banks of the river, and he could hear their calves calling them from far, far away in a barn. That made him feel a little lonely, and he looked again for other twigs with other passengers as he floated on. Instead, he saw round, very round rocks. He guessed that the river had taken the corners off the rocks by rubbing by them so quickly. Quickly? Was the water moving more quickly? Uh-oh, that might not be such a good thing. The grasshopper didn't see much of anything for the next little while because he was clinging so tightly to the twig and holding his eyes closed tightly, too. The river flowed down and down the hillside, without the grasshopper enjoying one bit of the ride. And then, just as suddenly, as the water had picked up speed, the next thing he knew, the twig had stopped moving altogether. The grasshopper carefully opened his eyes and immediately saw a seagull passing overhead. He tried his best to hide under the leaves at the tip of his twig, without tipping the twig over and falling into the water. And it must have worked because the bird was gone and his feet weren't even wet. He didn't see the round rocks anymore. Now he and his twig boat seemed to be in a little tiny pond. And little by little, the water rocked and the twig drifted to the edge of the tiny pond. When the grasshopper jumped off the twig, he landed on sand. A little shell crept up to him sideways, with little antennae and two little eyes bulging out. "Who are you?" asked the crab. "I am Greg the Green Grasshopper," the grasshopper answered. "Where am I?" Greg asked the crab. "You have landed in a tide pool. We are on the beach near the ocean," answered the friendly little crab.
"Well, that's really something," said Greg. "I've never even heard of the beach or the ocean. I come from the forest on the hill." "Well, how did you get here, then?" asked the crab. And the little grasshopper puffed himself up with pride and said, "I traveled here on my twig, straight down the mighty river."
"Yes?" asked the crab in amazement.
"Yes, indeed," said Greg.
"Well, then you are a ship's captain, are you not?" teased the grasshopper.
"I don't really know," said Greg, stumbling a bit. but I did see a great many strange and wonderful things on my travels, and now I have reached the crab helped him find the word. You reached the ocean. So are you planning to continue your voyage out into the ocean? The crab was teasing again. Because your twig does not look truly seaworthy to me. Well, no, said Greg. I had no plans. I just went where the water took me, so I don't really know what's next. Well, then why don't you stay a while here on the beach with me, said the crab. Well, you have been listening and sitting quietly, so now you need to get up and stretch your body. Here's Dr. Sam.
Now, if you were a duckling about to go for a swim, you would need to cover yourself with oil. That's to turn your feathers into a raincoat so that the river water can't get on your skin and make you cold. So, let's try squatting down in the nest like a duckling. That means you're on your feet, but you bend your legs until your seat almost touches the ground. Okay, now, pretend to rub oil on your feathers. Let's see. Start at the top of your head. Make sure you rub some on your wings. I don't think you need any on your legs or your webbed feet. They don't have feathers on them. But how about your tummy? That's the part that will be in the water most. Oh, and don't forget your back. How are you going to reach to pretend to rub oil on your back? Oh, I know. Try turning over and rub your back on the ground like a dog with an itchy back. That's it. Wiggle. Wiggle around. Press your back into the ground. Now you're set. Okay. Squat down again. Tuck your wings in and waddle walk. Low in the grass. Remember, you need to hide because you don't know how to fly if something chases you. Waddle walk, there you go, through the grass to the river. Okay, slip into the river water. Ooh, is it cold? There you are, bobbing up and down. That means floating on top of the water and moving gently when the water moves. That's right. Ducklings eat by sticking their heads under water and their tails pop up. Get your head to go under the water and nibble the plants. You have to push your tail up and tip. Hold your breath when you're under the water. Don't get water in your nose.
Well, Dr. Sam really had you waddling along. Now she wants you to stretch your brain. She's going to give you something to think about.
Let's take a trip down Imagination River. Are you a person in a canoe or a little rubber raft? Or maybe you are a fish and seeing things from under the water. Here we go. Start in the pond under the waterfall. Hear the water crashing down like thunder over the rocks. And feel it pounding on your back, splashing in your face. And you swoop away down the stream. Do you see birds overhead and trees on the banks? There's a trail leading off into the woods. I wonder who made that trail. Ooh, a frog just jumped off that log and splashed into the water in front of you. You're sliding to one side around a big rock, then sliding the other way faster and faster through a tube of the river rushing forward. Smell the cedar branches brushing down low over your head. Reach out and brush them. They tickle your fingers. You suddenly pop out into a new pond and slow down in the quiet, still water. You drift over to the shady spot on the side of the pond and look down through the water into the deep, cool shadows. And there, glinting below, is the quick flash of shiny fish flipping and bending and swimming over the gravel where they have laid their eggs. Hear that knocking? What's that? Look around. Can you find it? There it is! A woodpecker! Knock, knock, knocking, knock, knock, knocking on that tall, tall tree. Find a shady spot and take a nap in the warm breeze. Hear the water slapping gently.
Well, now it's time for you to listen to a play. You can rest your mind and enjoy dragonflies and other creatures on the river.
A bear is picking berries down by the riverbank. He's trying to pull at the tips of the brambles, being very careful not to prick his lips or his tongue on the thorns.
I don't like eating these leaves. They get stuck between my teeth. But these berries sure are sweet and juicy. I love berries.
Careful there, Bear. You're dripping on your fur. That's going to be sticky later.
Quit buzzing around my ears. And my face. And my ear. Quit it.
Easy, Bear. Don't swing so hard. You might fall into the thorns. Now, careful.
Two hummingbirds come whizzing by, dancing and darting well above the others.
Look at that ridiculous lumbering bear. Why, it's almost like he's moving in slow motion. What a ridiculous dance he's doing. And by himself, how silly.
Oh, no. Don't believe he's dancing at all. No, he looks like a boxer or a clown or a butterfly. Oh, no. We'd better warn the butterflies. Quickly. Calling all butterflies. Warning, do not flutter by. I repeat, do not flutter by.
Do stop it, won't you? You couldn't be more wrong. That ridiculous bear is only being teased by that lazy cousin of yours, who never moves quickly. Just floats up and down the river, resting herself, warming herself, amusing herself. She never takes anything seriously.
Oh, no. I know who you mean. That second cousin twice removed, that lazy daisy dragonfly, isn't it? And she's not really a cousin at all. Not at all, really. She's not. Oh, no, she's not.
Well, of course she's not. But you just tried telling her that. Just look at her down there, making trouble with that bear. Let's move on before she sees us.
Oh, yes. Let's do. Stu, move on. Right on. On.
Whee!
Well now, aren't you having fun? Such a happy, carefree gal bobbing up around there. You're happy, happy, and I'm hoppy, hoppy. Get it? Frog, hoppy, frog, hoppy? Pretty funny, right, friend?
Well, yes, I guess it is pretty funny, but you startled me when you popped up out of nowhere like that.
Oh, well, you have to be careful around here at Water's Edge. That's true enough. But anyway, you can fly away with a flick of a wing. You've got nothing to worry about. Now me, I'm too heavy to ride around on a cattail like that. You're mighty lucky to be so light and carefree.
Well, I suppose I am lucky. After all, I can fly, and I have beautiful shiny colors, and I have lots of fun when most people are worrying or working. But I can't swim, and you can, so you're lucky too.
That is true, my friend, that is true. Now show me something you can do really well, and then I'll show you something that I can do really well. Show me just how far you can make that cattail sway and bounce. A little gal like you, I'm sure you can't make it swing very far. Can you now?
Well, the dragonfly thought she was being very clever. She thought she knew the frog was trying to trick her. She knew the frogs like to eat big bugs, and even though she's a pretty big bug, this fellow was an awfully big frog. But the dragonfly loved to swing and bounce, and she liked to show off too. She thought she'd turn the trick onto the frog by bouncing and swinging nearly into the frog's reach and then suddenly flitting away out of the reach into the air.
Well, now you're getting quite a lot of movement there, my friend. I'll bet that makes you feel all swoopy and excited in your stomach. But I'll tell you what, I know a thing or two about bouncing and hopping and all, and I think you'll have even more fun if you push down and jiggle when you get near the water. You know, that makes it more exciting and all.
Up and down the cattails go, to and fro, bounce and bounce and bounce.
Keep bouncing.
Oh, no. Ew, I'm all covered with frog spit, and that tongue snapped right in my face. Uh-oh, the lily pad's slippery. I'm sliding.
Indeed, she was sliding fast right to the edge of the lily pad, hanging over the water.
Flap, wings, flap.
And she rose a tiny bit above the water, just as a frog came sliding across the lily pad behind her, and the frog fell into the water. The dragonfly was safe this time, but just barely.
Oh my, that was a close one. My heart is beating as fast as a hummingbird's wings. I better settle down and take a rest for a minute.
She found a nice set of sunny boulders out in the sandy patch of dry riverbed. It was far enough away from the water to avoid the frog. This rock had soaked up some sun, and the dragonfly enjoyed the relaxing warmth.
I'll have to keep my eyes open, just in case. This is nice and warm.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I'm always quite relaxed here. It's one of my favorite spots. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, hello there, little fellow. Do you eat bugs? Because I'll just move along if I'm in your way.
Well, in fact, I do eat bugs, but I'm still very young, a very small lizard, and I eat, well, little gnats and tiny flies. But when I grow up to be a big salamander, I may just hunt you down and see. Right now, I'm just trying to find out about all the things around me here on the river.
Well, I've been around a little while, and I've had a few adventures. Maybe I can teach you something or answer a question.
I do have a question for you, but sometimes people tell stories and they pretend things that aren't true. Do you tell stories or do you tell the truth?
Sometimes stories sound more interesting. Ask me your question.
Well, I was watching you and your wings are so tricky. Sometimes I can't see them at all, you know, invisible, right?
Invisible, sort of. See-through, really.
And other times they're shiny, bright rainbows of color, and they keep changing like, well, kind of like magic. Tell me about your wings, please.
It is a fascinating story, if I do say so myself. I was flying up by the road, away beyond the meadow. Hear those children laughing? They were on the grass by a house, and they had a little tiny pond in front of them. This pond was so tiny that their mom could pick it up and carry it around.
Wow, that is tiny. That sounds like just the right size for me. But why would you want to carry a pond around?
I don't really know, but the little kids had some magic wands. Now, don't look at me like that. It's true. They dipped these magic wands in the teeny tiny pond and pulled them through the breeze. And suddenly, a big, beautiful ball grew magically out of the end of the wand.
Wow!
Oh, that's just the beginning. I was not a dragonfly at all. In those days, I was just a long, skinny bug, sitting on the edge of a picnic table, watching these kids, when suddenly, one of these clear, shiny, rainbow-changing magic balls floated. Yes, indeed, they did not fall to the ground like a normal ball. No, sir, they floated up into the air.
They are magic. They floated on the breeze?
They did, and when one came close to the table edge, I jumped and landed on top.
And then what? What happened then?
I floated up too, up and up on top of the magic ball.
Wow, that sounds fun and scary too.
Well, it was definitely fun until...
What? What happened?
It popped and disappeared, and I was covered with the goo from the pond that had made the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
There I was, a mere dragon bug, falling fast through the air, when suddenly the goo from the pond stretched in the wind. It stretched out from my shoulders, and the next thing I knew, I was floating on these two beautiful, clear, shiny rainbow wings. I've had them ever since, and now I always fly, everywhere. So now I'm a dragonfly.
Hoo-wee, that's a great story, lady.
Yes, yes it is, kid. I gotta go. So long, little guy. I can't say that I'll stop and see you later. You may be a bit bigger then, and you may be hungry then, too. Goodbye.
Wow, a magic ball from a magic wand. And a teeny tiny pond. Wait a minute. Is that a true or pretend? Hey, wait!
The dragonfly had enjoyed her rest, and she loved making up a story. Now she drifted down the river, too tired to tease the salmon. When she came to the shadowy eddies and pools where the salmon liked to rest, it was time to go home, and off she went, flitting through the sky on her beautiful wings.
Well, the Imagination Station boat is getting closer to the dock.
We need to think about what we're going to do next. We still have a poem to read, but I want to know, when it's time to turn on the radio, will you be getting ready for dinner or getting ready for bed? I want you to keep on humming your tunes and singing your songs. And maybe next time I'll get to hear from you again when you're doing your body stretchers and your brain stretchers. Let's hear a poem about fish on the river by William J. Smith. Look at the fish. Look at the fish. Look at the fish that is blue and green. Look at the fish that is tangerine. Look at the fish that is gold and black, with monocled eye and a big hump back. Look at the fish with the ring in his nose, and a mouth he cannot open or close. Look at the fish with the lavender stripes, and long front teeth like organ pipes, and fins that are finer than Irish lace. Look at that funny grin on his face. Look at him swimming all over the place. Look at the fish, look at the fish, look at the fish. They're so beautiful. Thank you for joining us on this journey from Imagination Station. I'd like to tell you about some of the people who came along on today's show, those who made it and those who were in it. The show was written by Laura Hale. Today's song was by Coyote George. Dr. Sam, who stretched your mind and body, was Elaine Struthers. The play was performed by the Children's Radio Players. Sound effects and technical stuff by Jay Charles. The theme was performed by Euphoria. Produced for KSVR Studios by Joseph C. McGuire. Until next time, let your imagination take you away.
Imagination Station is made possible by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.